Amen. Galatians 6, and the words of the 7th verse in particular is our text this morning. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Think of the words at the end of the verse, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's a story, you maybe have heard it, of an Irishman. The Irishman gets blamed for being a wee bit slow, but the story is that the Irishman thought if he planted a feather, he would grow a rooster. But I want to stress to you men and women in this service today, the law of the harvest, as it's set forth for us in this text of Scripture. And the law of the harvest is plainly this, that you reap whatsoever you sow. It's basic, it is simple, it is clear, it is so clear that no one here today, regardless of what age you are, will be able to misunderstand it. If you sow corn, you expect to reap corn. If you plant potatoes, you expect to have a harvest of potatoes. You don't sow corn in a field and then in the autumn time expect to bring in a harvest of oranges. You reap whatsoever you sow. It's a vital and yet a basic principle of life. And we're reminded of it at a time such as this, especially when we come to the harvest, to the gathering in of the harvest, and to meetings such as this, the harvest Thanksgiving services themselves. What I want to stress to you today, I'd like to take that thought, that principle a step further, lift it on to a higher spiritual plane, because I want to stress to you men and women that the law of the harvest goes beyond the realm of agriculture and horticulture. It goes beyond plants and fruit, because that principle can be applied to life as well. It can be applied to every life that is lived, and it can be applied to every aspect of life. And I want you to think of that. As far as your life is concerned, the life that you're living, you reap whatsoever you sow. And I want you to stop and think of that for a moment or two. The verse says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You often think of what the farmer sows, what the gardener, those involved in horticulture, what they sow. But this verse is speaking to you, to your heart, to every person in the meeting. Whatsoever a man soweth. And that's what the Lord wants you to think about at a time such as this. What you're sowing, and then in connection with that in time to come, what you're going to reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I want you to stop and think about that today. That what you sow, that's the harvest that you're to expect. And I want you to ask yourself the question today, what have you been sowing, or how have you been sowing in your life? Or to put it maybe another way, what are you going to reap in your life? What sort of personal harvest will you have? Maybe next week, next month, maybe next year. Keep in mind that God is very patient, that the laws and principles of nature and of life sometimes run and grind very slow. You may not reap the harvest immediately, but you can be absolutely certain of this, the harvest surely will come in your life. Just as surely as it comes physically, a harvest from the land, so there will be a harvest from the life that you live as well. And that harvest, men and women, is not just in time, it can also be in eternity. And how solemn and sobering that thought is to our hearts today. Let me give you an example. I'll set out some things of how you sow and reap in life. For example, what will you reap in your life as far as your words are concerned? The things that you say, the way you talk, the statements that you make. If I could give you an example of what I mean by that, you think of sometimes a family gets into difficulty. Maybe one of the members of the family get into difficulty, fall into sin. And what often happens, even among Christian people, is that that family is scandalized. Others talk about them. Talk's probably too mild a word. Others gossip about that family all around the country. You know the expression, spread the dirt. But then, what actually happens, men and women, is there's a harvest for that sort of talk. Because years later, the very same thing happens in that family. The family of those that gossiped. The family of those that talk. Why is that? It's the law of the harvest. Keep that in mind every day you live. You reap whatsoever you sow. Sometimes people wonder, why are these things being said about me? Why are these things happening? These statements been made about my family. Well, maybe if you stopped and thought back a little, you'd realize it's the harvest. It's a harvest maybe for what you sowed yourself many years ago. Can I say to you, brethren and sisters, just remember, if you're going to speak or criticize others, you're going to scandalize them, you're going to be critical of the life that they live and the situation in which they find themselves and spread rumors about that family, before you do it, stop and remember this, the principle of this verse. You reap whatsoever you sow. And if you did that, if you applied this verse of Scripture more often to your life, maybe you would learn not to say as much about other people and about other families. You think of that if we were to look at the other side of that subject. Why are we not seeing souls saved? Why are we not seeing the harvest spiritually? Keep in mind, men and women, there's more than one harvest. I hadn't thought of speaking on that today. There's actually four harvests spoken of in the Bible. There's the physical harvest, evidence of it before us. There is the spiritual harvest, the bringing in of souls, the personal one of which we're speaking. And then there's the final, great eternal harvest, what the book of the Revelation calls the harvest of the earth. The Savior in the parable of the tares said the harvest is the end of the world. And every harvest that God spares us to see through points forward to that final and to that great harvest. But why are we not seeing the spiritual harvest, the harvest of souls? Can I tell you one reason? It's because we're not speaking of Christ as we should. We've been thinking of speaking about others. Well, remember, he's the one we should be speaking about. It says of those that went down to Syria, down to Antioch, that they went everywhere preaching the word. You see the word preaching there? It doesn't mean to stand publicly like this and declare to a congregation, to a large number of people. The word there for preaching is the idea of gossiping. But gossiping the gospel, that's the right, the proper sort of gossiping that every Christian should be engaged in. And the reason we're not seeing the harvest of souls is we're not speaking of him as we should. We're not being the witness. We're not talking about Christ and talking about the gospel. And if we would want to see more souls saved, brethren and sisters, if we want to see a greater harvest, then that's what we need to do. We need to employ our lips and our tongue more in that great business of telling others, my life's work is telling others. So what will you reap in days to come as far as your words? Maybe some of the things you said in the week that has passed. What sort of harvest will there be? You think of your deeds. What sort of harvest will you reap from your deeds, your conduct, your actions. Let me give you an example of that, a very clear one in the Old Testament scriptures. You think of Jacob. You remember that his sons came back. They came back from looking after the sheep and the cattle from Dothan. And Jacob's sons lied and deceived their father. And they lied and deceived their father about what had happened to his beloved son, Joseph. Do you know why that happened, men and women? Do you know why Jacob had to go through that very painful experience? He was reaping what he had sowed. Do you remember many years before that he did exactly the same thing to his father, Isaac? In exactly the same way. Do you remember that Jacob's sons, that they killed the kid and they put the blood from the kid on the coat of the coat of many colours of Joseph to try to give the impression that Joseph was dead? Well, didn't Jacob do exactly the same thing to Isaac in connection with what his mother encouraged him to do? They killed the kid and they put the skins on his arms and they brought the meat, the venison that he loved before old Isaac. What had happened in Jacob's life as an old man? Remember what I said earlier? Many years later, as an old man, he reaped whatsoever he had sown. What a warning, men and women, that is. There's a king of the Canaanites that's mentioned in the book of Judges, the opening chapter of the book of Judges. He has the name of Adoni-Bezek. He was the king or found in Bezek, which was one of the ancient towns or cities in the nation of Israel whenever Israel came in to conquer the land. He tried to escape from before Judah and Simeon when they were starting to invade that part of Israel. And they caught him and they brought him to Jerusalem. And you know what they did to Adoni-Bezek? They cut off his great thumbs and they cut off his great toes. And whenever they did that, Adoni-Bezek said, "As I have done, so God hath requited me." Do you know why he said that, men and women? If you know the passage, you know the story, you know exactly why he said that, because there was 70 kings that he had done exactly the same to during his lifetime. That's how he had treated others. Cut off their great thumbs, or their thumbs, and cut off their great toes, or their big toes, as we would describe them. As I have done. And maybe you can say that, men and women. Maybe you think of what you're passing through at the moment, the circumstances in which you're found, and it is brought to your memory events of long ago. And you have to say today, as I have done, as I did to others, so God hath requited me, so God hath brought upon my life and brought upon my family exactly the same circumstances. Be not deceived, men and women. God's not mocked by what you say and what you do. The law of the harvest will stand and will be sure. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And let me say, we thought of it maybe what we could call negatively. As far as your deeds, you think of them positively, because it's not just the bad and the sinful deeds that you'll reap a harvest from. The same is true of the good deeds that you have done. The passage before us encourages us to do good unto all men. That's the way to live. That's following Christ's example. When he was on earth, the Bible says he went about doing good. May that come to bear upon our lives today as never before. The book of Ephesians, there's a little verse in chapter 6. I wonder if you ever noticed it. It sets out in different words the law of the harvest in a positive manner. It's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, if you want to take time to take a little look at it. And this is what it says, men and women. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That's the law of the harvest. Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, what will be the outcome? What will be the result? The Bible assures you of this: the same shall he receive of the Lord. You reap a positive harvest a harvest of blessing. Can I give you an example of that? There's an old man in the Old Testament called Barzillai. He was a farmer. He was a faithful supporter of David. He was one that lived over in Gilead there, where it was known to be a good place for cattle. Remember that half the tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, that's why they wanted to stay there. When they looked out on the land, and every farmer will have had that experience. You look out on the field and you think that's a good field to plow. That's a good field to graze. Well, they looked out on the land of Gilead and they thought that's a good place for cattle. And they wanted to stay there with all their cattle. And old Barzillai farmed in that region. And he was a man of 80 years of age, 80 years, and still a faithful supporter of David. Supported David when Absalom had rebelled against him. And whenever the rebellion was over and David was coming back to Jerusalem, old Barzillai, along with others, came to meet him. And David said, "Come you to Jerusalem with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." Imagine that. Sit at the king's table, be fed by the king in the royal palace day by day. Well, why was it that David wanted to bestow that honor upon that old man? Well, remember the good that he had done to David. He had fed him, supported him. He was a wealthy man, and of the wealth and the substance that he had, he used it for the support of God's servant in a very trying time. And God blessed him. The good thing that he had done, he received the same from the Lord. So men and women, here's the law of the harvest. What you sow, you reap. And that's true of your words, and it's also true of your deeds, as far as your actions are concerned. And the lesson, of course, is be very careful how you live. Be very careful what you do. Be very careful how you treat others. That's one of the warnings of this portion of God's word. Do you remember the golden rule? See, the fact is, men and women, the law of the harvest, we think of it just stated here in the terms of Galatians 6 and 7. But it's a principle that's found right through the Bible, and it's set out in so many different ways. And what we call the golden rule is also the law of the harvest. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So what sort of harvest will you reap as far as your deeds? Think as well of a third area of life. That's your giving. The giving of your money to God's work. And in fact, you may never have realized it, but that's the context here of the words in Galatians 6 and verse 7. If you look at verse 6 of the chapter, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word," that's those that sit in the congregation from week to week, and you're taught in the word, the spiritual blessings. The word "communicate" there, we generally think of that to do with the way we speak. The idea of the word "communicate" there is in our giving. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The teacher, the one that teaches the word of God, that there's to be the reciprocation of the good that is done. You have received the spiritual blessings, and you're to minister then in reciprocation of that all the material and mundane blessings. So the context of the words, men and women, of Galatians 6 and 7, our text, is in the context of giving. Remember the Savior said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Isn't that the law of the harvest? The book of Proverbs, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." What will be the result of that? "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine." The lesson's clear. If you give to God, if you give to his servants, if you give to his work, if you give to the extension of his kingdom, if you give liberally, the outcome of that will be God will give liberally to you. Can I remind you of that great statement, men and women, that you never outgive God. You never can. God will be no man's debtor. In 2 Corinthians it says, "They that sow bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Do you know, the mistake that we sometimes make in our reading and in our study and understanding of the Bible is every time we read the word reaper, sow, we think it has to do with seed. And we think it has to do with the spread of the gospel. And those verses certainly can be applied in that way. But you see again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, do you know what the context there? That chapter is all about giving. The context is about giving and helping and ministering of your substance to needy souls. And the promise, they that sow bountifully shall also reap bountifully. That's the context in which it's written. If you sow bountifully of your money, your finance, your substance, that's what God's saying. You'll reap also bountifully from his hand. You reap what you sow as far as your giving is concerned. Turn just for a moment to the book of Haggai, the end of the Old Testament scriptures. There's just a couple of chapters of the book of Haggai. There's a great example of that in his ministry in Jerusalem at that time. Haggai chapter 1. And look at the verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. And then if you go down to verse 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. And here's the question. Why? Why was it when they sowed much, they brought in little? Why was it in the words of verse 6 that they did eat, but they had not enough, and so on? Why was it that they looked for much and it came to little, and when they brought it home, God blew upon it? Well, he goes on to say why. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. You see, what he's saying is, they were spending all their money on themselves. They hadn't a thought about God. They were so selfish, so taken up with themselves, that they hadn't a thought about God, about his cause, his kingdom. And especially they're saying they hadn't a thought about God's house. They were spending all their money on their own houses. Told about their sealed houses. The best of money was spent on their own house. And God's house was lying in ruins. You see, what he's trying to teach is you don't prosper by withholding from God. You'll never be better off, men and women, if you don't pay your tithe, your tithes and your offerings. The Bible talks about withholding more than is meat. If you withhold more than 90% of your income, that's withholding from God more than is meat. At least 10% of your income should be given to God. You'll not be the better off. That's the lesson God wanted the Jews in Jerusalem in Haggai's day to learn. You'll not be better off by withholding from God. You want plenty? Then give to him generously and liberally. Let me mention a fourth. That's your body. What will you reap as far as your body is concerned? If you look there in verse 8 of our passage in Galatians chapter 6, he says, for he that soweth to the flesh, or to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, when he talks about the flesh, it's the body. It's the physical part of you that the Lord is referring to. Keep in mind, especially for the Christian, there are two soils on which you can sow. When I went to agricultural college, they taught us all about the different types of soils. Those that are not from a farming background will just think soil. There's only one type of soil. Well, there's not. All sorts of soils. And spiritually, men and women, there's two soils that you can sow on. One is the spiritual, and the other is the physical. You can either sow to the world, or you can sow to the Lord and to the things of God. And he's teaching here if you abuse your body, if you sow to the flesh, sow to fleshly lusts, give yourself over unrestrained to fleshly appetites, the warning is you'll reap the consequences. You'll reap the harvest of that sort of lifestyle. You think of the question about AIDS. Still a great danger, particularly in continents like Africa. Why is there AIDS, men and women? Why is our land and virtually every nation across the earth reaping a harvest of AIDS today? It's because of the immorality of the society, the immoral, unabandoned immorality of the days in which we live. You reap whatsoever you sow. I took part in a radio broadcast in Swansea Sound in South Wales, maybe 20 years ago and more. They wanted to legalise prostitution in this country. That was the Royal College of Nursing that wanted to legalise prostitution. And they wanted somebody to come in that would debate with that representative of the Royal College of Nursing. And the man that was in charge of religious broadcasts, even though he was a liberal, gave my name to the radio station. One of the things that I said simply in that debate was that AIDS was the harvest of the immoral lifestyle that was so rampant in our nation and in our society today. Well, they nearly collapsed. You could hear the gasp of shock. To say such a thing and to say it over the airwaves, that's the reality, men and women. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The fact is, you can't abuse your body. And that's a good warning to us all. You can't abuse your body and expect all to be well. You can't neglect sleep and hope you're going to be fresh and alert. You can't abuse eating and expect to be healthy. Remember, Paul said when he was on the ship going to Rome in the midst of the storm that this is for your health. We have to think about the way we eat. Healthy eating that is for the good of our body. You can't smoke, men and women, and hope that you're going to have a clear chest and hope that your health is going to be good. You reap whatsoever you sow. Often it's the case, and I stress that I'm saying often, not in every case, but often the physical problems, the physical illnesses and ailments, the problems that many people have with their bodies and with their flesh is a result of years of sowing to the flesh. Years of abusing the body with which God has blessed them. You can abuse the health you have too. Remember that. If you're not careful with the health God has given to you. There's one other thing I'll mention to you, and that's the soul. And I'm thinking here, especially of all in the meeting who are unsaved. You reap whatsoever you sow in this life, as far as your soul is concerned. If you neglect Christ and the offer of mercy and the offer of salvation, you will reap the consequences of that. Because the Bible says, as you have rejected him, on the great day of judgment, he will reject you. And he will say, depart from me, ye wicked. I never knew you. If you choose sin, and often that's what happens, men and women, at the end of a gospel meeting such as this, there's the decision that has to be made. It's the sin or the Saviour. And if you choose sin, you'll reap its wages. You'll reap the reward. The wages of sin is death. If you choose the broad road rather than the narrow road to life, then what you will reap will be the destination at the end of that road. And the destination, men and women, the Bible says, is destruction. Do you remember what the Savior said? Whosoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What's he saying in those words, men and women? He's saying that you'll reap whatsoever you sow. If you sow that sort of harvest, denying Christ, refusing his offer of mercy, then there's a day coming. What an awful day it will be, and he will deny you before his Father, which is in heaven. Do you remember the Savior told a parable when he was here on earth, Matthew chapter 13? There's a series of parables. It's the chapter of parables, the parables of the kingdom. And in that chapter, he told the parable of the tares. That was the one that especially interested the disciples. They had a little more difficulty perhaps understanding it, seeing what the Savior was saying, and that's why they asked him in the house to explain to them the parable of the tares of the field. Well, in that parable, the Savior warns there's a harvest that is coming, men and women. Remember I said to you earlier, four great harvests? Well, you should never lose sight of the one that is yet to come. That this harvest, and every harvest, reminds us of. The harvest is the end of the world, when the Savior comes again. And what you need to ask yourself as you think of that day, that final great harvest, is what will you reap on that day when that harvest is gathered in? Will you be gathered into the barn with the wheat, or will you be thrown into the fire with the tares and the chaff? Will it be life eternal, or death eternal? Which will it be, men and women, for you? Will you be among the wheat, or will you be bound up with the tares and cast into the furnace of fire? And let me remind you, when the Savior explained that parable and he said that the seed was the seed of the kingdom, the word of God, and that the harvest was the end of the world and the reapers were the angels, went down through every part of it. When he came to the fire was still fire, men and women. And we want to warn you today, every farmer here, every gardener is familiar with lighting the fire. There's a bit of the harvest that you don't need, and so you gather it up and you throw it into the fire. I know there's all sorts of regulations now that maybe restrict and hinder that sort of practice. It's not maybe as common as once it was. But the fire, men and women, the fire of that parable is real fire. And those that are out of Christ, those that reject his salvation, that's the harvest that they will reap. Not a harvest of time, but a harvest of eternal, of eternity. A harvest that is eternal, that the everlasting burnings, the fire that burns forever and ever. And we want to warn you of that and urge you to flee from it. And our prayer would be that you today might be among the spiritual harvest. Oh, that God would give that to us, and that you would be one of those souls, one of those sheaves that we would gather in today coming rejoicing. I'll close with this, men and women. We've mentioned what sort of personal harvest will you reap? Your words, your deeds, your giving, your body, your soul. Think of the words at the beginning of verse 7. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. In other words, don't fool yourself. You know, it's interesting how that word comes up in the chapter. Look at the end of verse 3. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. God is warning here about self-deception, about being deceived. You can't deceive yourself. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Don't you fool yourself, men and women. The principle is true and sure. And the harvest, and that's why God gives us a harvest, or one of the reasons. The harvest is like an illustration. You know, in the children's meeting, you will use a visual aid. Well, God is visual aids. Here's one of the greatest ones that he repeatedly, yearly, brings before you. The harvest reminds you and it illustrates you of what God has said, the principle he has stated in his word, that you will reap whatsoever you sow. Don't be deceived about that, men and women. The law of the harvest is one of those great principle truths that is absolutely certain and sure, unwavering, unmovable. Whatever you sow, you will also reap. And I pray God will give us all a blessed harvest, men and women, in our lives, and give us a harvest that will not just stand the test of time, but give us a harvest too that will stand the test of eternity also. 233.